This morning on Easter, we want to focus on the story of Easter, and I wanted to talk about specifically the encouragement that each one of us can have because of Easter. I guess we might have run out of bulletins. If you need a bulletin, raise your hand and somebody next to you can share. Okay, we need one right up here. Can somebody share their bulletin? Oh, right around the corner. Up there. Raise your hand again so he knows where you're at. You got one? Okay, good. There's no coupons for Starbucks in there, so. Sorry. Easter. Easter was the greatest event that ever happened. In fact, it's the focal point of history. All of history is divided into AD and BC by this event. What makes it so special? Why is it such a big deal? Why will over a billion people celebrate Easter this morning or this weekend around the world? I want to tell you because it proved who Jesus was. Jesus made some really outrageous claims when he was here on earth. Here's some of them. He said things like this: I'm God. If you've seen me, you've seen God. I've come to earth in human form so you can get to know what God is like. Things like, I'm the only way to heaven. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Then he said, I'm going to prove that what I said was true by letting them crucify me on the cross. 3 days later, I'm going to raise myself back to life. That's exactly what he did on Easter. He came back to life. He walked around the streets of Jerusalem for a while, and people said, he's back. But this morning, I'd like to look at, so what? What's the big issue? What are the implications for me over 2,000 years later in Phoenix, Arizona? Why would I care? The Bible says there are some wonderful benefits for what happened at the cross at Easter over 2,000 years ago. In 1 Peter 1:3, it says this, and if you have a bulletin with an insert, the scriptures that I talk about will be in there so you can check them later. 1 Peter 1:3 says, now we live with the wonderful expectation because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. That's talking about Easter. Because Jesus Christ raised himself from the dead on Easter Sunday, we have a wonderful expectation. We have a hope. In other words, it's good news. Why? Because now we can know God's plan for our lives, and we can know God's power in our lives. And that's what I'd like to talk about. First, we can know God's purpose or plan, and then we can know his plan, his reason for making us. God has never made anything that he didn't have a purpose for. You see a tree? There's a purpose for it. You see an animal? There's a purpose for it. The very fact that you're alive and here this morning means that God has a purpose in creating you. I don't care what the circumstances are around your birth. Maybe your parents weren't planning it, but guess what? God did. You know, and God knew just who would get together to form the right genes to make you. The Bible says God has made us what we are. In Christ, God made us do good works, which he planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. The Bible says that you were put on this earth for a reason. He made you for a reason. Even before you were born, God designed you. If you don't get anything else, get this today. You were made by God, and you were made for God. Until you understand that, life, it's not going to make a lot of sense. You can't make sense out of your life without God. If there is no God, if you're just a freak, random accident of nature, then your life doesn't matter. You're worth nothing. You have no value. And if you get blown away by some drive-by shooter, too bad. because it's not going to matter anyway if God didn't have a reason. But the Bible says exactly the opposite. God thought you up before you were born. He made you for a purpose. Now, I can look at me and I can see that my purpose wasn't to be the star of a professional basketball team. He just didn't create me that way. But God thought you up before you were born. You were created with a God-shaped hole in your heart, and nothing else can fill that except a relationship with God. You know, a lot of times we try to fill the emptiness in our heart with other things. We try possessions. You know, if we could just get a certain amount of money, then we'll be happy. Or we try popularity. If I can just get enough people to like me, then I'll be happy. We try pleasure. If I can just travel around the world, experience different thrills, get high, do certain things, then I'd be happy and fulfilled and satisfied. Or we try other people. I'll just get married to this person, and they'll meet all my needs. That happens, right, all you married people? But there's no person who can meet all your needs. Only God can do that. So many relationships break up. You try to make other people do what only God can do in your life. There's that hole, and when we try to fill it with anything else, it doesn't fit. You know, most of us spend our lives pretending that things are better than they really are. We pretend that we're more successful than we really are. We pretend that we're happier than we really are. If you ever want to see a bunch of unhappy people, go to happy hour. Only really down people go to happy hours. They're desperately trying to appear happy, but they're not happy. You know, sometimes people come to church on Sunday morning, they got their happy Sunday morning face on. But as soon as they get into the car in the parking lot, it's on. We try to pretend that our marriage is more fulfilling than it really is. Then inevitably, the crisis comes along and puts a little crack in that wall of denial. When we're trying to pretend that it's all so great, that our life is wonderful when it's not, these feelings bubble up, feelings of dissatisfaction and despair and disappointment. And we don't like those feelings, and we are hurriedly trying to patch over the crack in our lives. We don't want to admit that life just hasn't turned out the way we wished it had. Life without purpose is motion without meaning. It's activity without direction. Life without knowing God's plan for your life is trivial and petty and pointless. Friends, you were made to know God. You were made to know his purpose for you. There's a scripture in Jeremiah 29:11 in the Old Testament. And it says, God says, I have good plans for you, plans not to hurt you. I will give you hope in a future. What kind of plans does God have for your life? He has good plans. Plans to give you hope in a future. Some people think that God is this cosmic grouch, and he's sitting up there in the sky waiting to deal with you, a bummer, waiting for you to make one wrong move, and that's not God. The fact is, God says, I have plans for you that are good. God knows what will make you happy even more than you do. He has a plan for your life. There's only one problem. We tend to make our own plans, don't we? You know, God says, here, I have this purpose for your life. We say, thank you, God, but I'm already busy. I have my own plans. Have you seen my calendar? You know, I have my own goals, my own dreams, my own ambitions. Thank you, but no thanks. And so we go out trying to fulfill our own plans in life, which inevitably causes all kinds of problems. The main reason for problems in my life and in your life is we're following our own plans rather than God's. And it doesn't fit. It's going against the grain. Anytime I try to do my plans instead of God's plan, I have insecurity. I have fear of failure. I have depression. Sometimes boredom, guilt, resentment. I certainly have stress. I'm not being what I was made to be. If you try to use a pencil as a screwdriver, it puts stress on the pencil. It doesn't work. And when you're not being what God meant for you to be, it causes all kinds of stress. So how do we discover God's plan for our life? How do I discover what God put me on this earth for? That's why we have church. There are really only three alternatives. If you want to know your purpose in life, if you want to know why God put you on this earth, you have three alternatives. First, you can consult a human expert, somebody like Jerry Springer or Oprah Winfrey or Dr. Phil. And you can ask, what do you think the purpose of life is? And you're probably going to get a reliable answer. Or an even more popular way is that in all kinds of books and novels and movies, they say, look within yourself. What does that mean? Look within yourself. The great theologian Pocahontas said that. I don't know if you've ever tried it or not, but I have. And when I've had a major problem and tried to look within myself, I didn't find the answer. I found more problems. If the answer was in you, you would have the problem solved a long time ago. I don't think that one works. All that is, it's New Age nonsense. It sounds so great. Look within yourself. You don't have the answers, and you know it. The third way is there's only one place that you can look, and that's to look to God. Look to your Creator, your Maker. Read the Owner's Manual of Life, the Bible. That's a whole lot more reliable. You will discover who you are when you finally discover whose you are. You were made by God and for God. Until you understand that, life will never make sense. So finding your purpose in Christ, finding yourself in Christ, that's important, but that's not all. You not only need to make it in life, God's plan to live for, you also need God's power to live on. The reason you need a power to live on is because life is tough. Nobody just coasts through life. You know, whenever you're coasting, you're going downhill. You can't coast uphill. You don't put your life on autopilot and kind of cruise through it. It takes energy. It takes effort. It takes stamina. It takes power. You need a power to live on and a purpose to live for. There's two kinds of power that you need in life. You need a power to control things, and then you need a power, you need energy to get through things. Your personal power probably peaked the first month of your life. Okay? At that point, the entire world revolved around you, and you weren't even fully aware of it. You know, but any time you made just a little whimper in the first month of your life, especially if you were the first child, anytime you made this little whimper, all these big adults rallied to your attention. You know, you were fed, you were burped, you were changed, you were cuddled, you were rocked. You were given attention. And in your little infantile mind, you figured out, this works. When I cry, I get attention. That's called power. As you grew up, two things changed. Two very awful things happened. One, the world got harder. And two, people stopped paying attention to your whimpering. Part of growing up is realizing how much of your life is really out of your control. When I was in my 20s, a long time ago, I thought I could control everything. But the older I get, the more I realize how much is out of my control. In fact, most of your life is out of your control. You cannot control it. As you get older, it only gets worse. Someone tells you that you can't drive anymore. I remember my dad had Alzheimer's. And I've got three brothers. And all four of us boys were chickens. So we made the doctor tell him that he couldn't drive anymore. He told me once, he said, that was the worst day of my life when that man told me I couldn't drive. Out of control. Someone else, when you get older, someone else has to help you get out of your chair, and it goes on and on. But with our human nature, We try to do it anyway. We try to control the uncontrollable all on our own power. How do you know when you're doing that? You're tired all the time. You get fatigued. You get emotionally fatigued. You get physical fatigue. You even get spiritual fatigue. It's interesting in our culture, since we like to control things in America, the terminology we come up with for this chronic power shortage in our life, this personal energy crisis, we say, I'm worn out, or I'm played out, I'm stressed out, you know, I'm burned out, I'm run down, I'm used up, I'm bushed, exhausted, frazzled, bone weary, dead tired, I'm on my last leg, I'm at the end of my rope, I'm ready to throw in the towel. Regardless of the phrase you use, it represents a power shortage. Why did God make life so tough? So we'd depend on Him. So we'd learn to trust Him. Jesus, friends, is all the power you need. Jesus demonstrated that He was God by showing His power while He was here on earth. He healed the sick. That's power over illness. He calmed storms. That's power over nature. He brought Himself back to life. That's ultimately power over death. The good news is, He says, I will offer you the same kind of power if you'll get in a relationship with Me. What kind of power does Jesus Christ offer you? He offers you the power to change your life. The power to change the unchangeable. Those things you'd like to change about yourself, but you can't. You've tried, but you can't. Habits or hang-ups or hurts that just keep messing up in your life. He gives you the power to let go of guilt, to let go of grief, the power to let go of grudges that keep you stuck in the past and keep you from getting on with your life. He gives you the power to forgive yourself and forgive others. He gives you the power to start over when you've really made a mess of your life and you feel like you've failed. He gives you the power to keep going when you're discouraged and you think, I can't take another step. He gives you the power to become what you were always meant to be in the first place. Friends, that kind of power is available. Look at these promises, and these are in your outline. These are in the Bible. Here's one that says, I can do everything God asks me to do with the help of Christ, who gives me strength and power. That's good news. Here's another one. God will strengthen you with His own great power so that you will not give up when troubles come. In other words, He not only gives you starting power, He gives you staying power. Here's another one. God grows faint. God never grows faint or weary. He gives power to those who are tired and worn out. To those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will fly high on wings like eagles. If you're here this morning and if you're tired, you need to just get plugged into the source. Of course you're tired. You've been trying to handle life all on your own power. No wonder. How do you get that power? By developing a relationship with Jesus Christ. One of the great themes of the Bible is this. God made you to love you. You were made as an object of His love. God made you to have a relationship with you. That's hard to see. It's mind-boggling that the Creator of the universe would want to have a relationship with me. But He does. He wants to have a relationship with you. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, so we could see what He was like and get to know Him and to relate to Him. How do you get to know God? I'll tell you, it's not through religion. It's not through rituals. It's not through rules or regulations. You get to know God through a relationship. A relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what Easter is all about. The Bible says this. Some people have missed the most important thing in life. They don't know God. If you don't get to know God, I'm not talking about knowing about God. You may have learned about God as a little kid in catechism or Sunday school or synagogue or whatever. You learned about God. But do you really know him? You see, I know about Larry Fitzgerald, but I don't know him. We've never had lunch at El Pollo Loco. I don't have a relationship with him. God wants you to know him. When you get to know Christ, you will have his purpose to live for, and you will have his power to live on. One of the most expensive and most successful films of all time is the Titanic. The estimates are that they spent $300 million to make the movie, and they grossed over $1.3 billion in profits in the first year. If you've seen the movie, you know it's a story of the difference between classes, the distinction between the rich and the poor. A big deal is made about this in the movie. Those who are on the first class deck and those who are down in the steerage or storage. It highlights the differences between the famous and the not so famous, the young and the old, the educated and non-educated. On the Titanic, there were a number of different distinctions. There were immigrants and there were non-immigrants. There were rich and there were poor. But when the Titanic sank, in the newspapers all around the world, they printed two columns, side by side. And those were the only distinctions that matter. It said this: those known to be saved and those known to be lost. Those are the eternal categories, saved and lost. James Cameron says the Titanic is a metaphor of the inevitability of death. We're all on the Titanic. I don't know if you've checked recently, but the mortality rate in America is 100%. We're all going to die at some time, just at different times. When somebody tells me they're terminal, I say we're all terminal. Only a fool would go all through life totally unprepared for it. One day you're going to stand before God. Your life is going to end. He's going to say, did you get to know my son, Jesus Christ? Did you follow the plan that I put you on earth for? Did you accept him as your Savior? The only categories that are going to matter are, were you saved by Christ or were you lost without Christ? One day when you stand before God, it's not going to matter whether you're rich or poor, educated or uneducated, famous or not so famous. The bottom line, the reason why Easter is so important, is you were made by God and for God. God wants to have a relationship with you. He loves you. He's seen every day of your life and he still cares about you. He came to earth in human form of Jesus so you could get to know what he is like. God wants you to learn to love him like he loves you. And God wants you to learn to trust him. In order to do that, you've got to get to know him. You don't trust people you don't know, so you're certainly not going to trust God or trust a God that you don't know. How do you get to know Jesus Christ? By opening up your life and saying, Jesus Christ, I want to get to know you. It's that simple. You know, God made it so simple, nobody could say it was too hard to understand. This morning here in this room, I can almost guarantee you that many problems known to man are represented here. I'm certain there are some people here today who are right now in the middle of a separation or a divorce. I'm certain that some of you have just buried a loved one and the grave is still fresh and the grief is still there. I'm certain that there are others here who are having marriage problems. There are others who are having problems with their kids. There are others who would like to get married and there's an ache in their heart and a loneliness and it just hasn't happened. I know there are people here who are going through financial problems. And I know there are people who are facing health problems. The tests haven't come back yet and you're scared to death. And I know there's people who are questioning, what am I going to do about my career? And am I going to go to school? Where am I supposed to live? Should I move? There are people here dealing with stress and guilt and grief. There are people here hiding things that they're ashamed of. I have no doubt about that. But I believe that you're not here this morning by accident. Long before you were born, God knew you would be here in 2016 at Easter at Echo Mountain Church so he could get your attention long enough to say to you, you matter to me. I love you. Jesus Christ says to you today, I see everything you're going through. I know it all. I see the ache in your heart. I see the pressure in your mind, and I care about it. And I can help you. Friends, God has a plan for your life that is greater than the problem you're going through right now. And God has a power for your life that will help you through the problems you're going through right now. If you'll just open up and let him come in, ask him, say, God, I need your help. Jesus Christ, I want to get to know you. I want to put my faith in you. At the bottom of your outline, there's two questions for you to think about today. One says, how will I respond? Romans 6:13 says, give yourselves completely to God to be used for his good purposes. Hebrews 4:16 says, we can come before God's throne where we can receive mercy and grace to help us when we need it. God's saying, I love you. How will I respond? If you want to respond to by accepting God's love, there's some next steps there. First, believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for me and showed he was God by coming back to life. Secondly, accept God's free forgiveness for my sin. It's free. We can't earn it. The S is switched to God's plan for my life. And then express my desire for Christ to be the director of my life. Turn over my life. Let him be the CEO. And if you're willing to take these four steps, then pray the simple prayer at the bottom. And there's nothing magic in that. And you can do it now or you can do it later at home. I would encourage you to look up those verses if you have a Bible. But the simple prayer, dear God, I believe you sent your son, Jesus, to die for my sins so that I can be forgiven. I'm sorry for my sins and I want to live the rest of my life the way you want me to. Please put your spirit in my life to direct me. Why don't you do that this Easter? There's no better time. There's no better time. Would you bow your heads with me? As we close, I want to pray an Easter prayer. And you might pray along with me yourself. You don't have to say it out loud. God already knows the very thoughts going across your mind right now. But this simple Easter prayer, we can all pray. Dear God, I want the rest of my life to be the best of my life. I want to make my life count. I want to get to know you and your purpose and plan for my life. I want to follow your plan, not mine. Would you please forgive me for going my own way? I want to get to know you and your son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, I don't understand it all, but I thank you for dying for me. And I realize I need you in my life. Please help me to understand it more. From this day forward, I want to follow you as best I know how. Please come into my life and help me to become the person you mean for me to be. In your name I pray. Amen.